1260 AM Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. A spokesperson for Israeli Defense Forces says it's expanding its ground activity tonight in Gaza. The spokesperson says Israel has alerted family members of the 229 hostages. In Lewiston, Maine, hundreds of law enforcement and tactical teams are searching for shooting suspect Robert Card. The Army reservist is accused of killing 18 and injuring 13 others. So far, police don't have a motive and are chasing hundreds of tips and leads.
Divers heading into the water off a dock in Lewiston where mass shooting suspect Robert Card had a boat and near where his car was found abandoned.
Checking for evidence, checking for potential bodies.
But Maine Public Safety Commissioner Mike Sawchuk cautions.
We have a lot of other irons in the fire. So I'm not saying that the suspect, we know the suspect is in the water and this is what we're doing.
It all means the suspect is still at large and there's a hunt for him, dead or alive. Derek Dennis, ABC News, Lewiston, Maine.
A shelter-in-place order remains in effect for Lewiston and surrounding communities. This is ABC News.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Leaders of both parties in the Wisconsin Assembly say the push to impeach Elections Commission Administrator Megan Wolf is a distraction. Republican Scott Krug and Democrat Lee Snodgrass spoke to a WISP Politics luncheon yesterday. Krug says there's a way forward that doesn't involve who's running WEC. He says he wants a better working relationship with local clerks. More than $388 million worth of key construction projects around Wisconsin are getting the green light from the State Building Commission. They include new buildings and upgrades at state parks, prisons, and universities, and other state-owned buildings. There'll be security improvements at Techeeta Women's Prison. Work will also get started on a new Wisconsin History Museum on Madison's Capitol Square. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. According to the 2022 End Domestic Abuse Wisconsin Homicide Report, domestic violence deaths are on the rise in Wisconsin. The report found 96 people were killed in a domestic violence homicide in 2022, a 20% increase over the 2021 number. It also found that one in every six domestic violent deaths in the United States happens in Wisconsin. Local police officers across the state have been training to identify the threat of domestic violence when they respond to 911 calls. Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers has announced the appointment of 30 members to the Task Force on Workforce and Artificial Intelligence. The task force was created to investigate how artificial intelligence will affect Wisconsin workers and businesses and find the best way to integrate the new technology to benefit all parties. The first public meeting of the Task Force on Workforce and Artificial Intelligence will take place on Monday, October 30th at 4:30 p.m. in Madison. And that's what you need to know. I'm James Kelly, WLAK News.
Timeout.
All right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Here's your updated forecast. 26 tonight, under cloudy skies, northwest winds, 8 to 15 miles per hour. 34 tomorrow, chance for snow. 22 tomorrow night, chance of snow. A dusting of snow tomorrow night. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air, WLAK, 1260 AM. Right now, 39.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. from the heart of the St. Croix Valley, we're in touch with you. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
Visit Latunji's Palette for more info or stop by their Minneapolis location at 1400 Park Avenue South.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, the Matt McNeil Show for your Friday. Good to be with you today. I hope you had a good week. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205 is the phone number. Coming up a little bit later on this hour, we're going to talk a little bit with a lawyer who's involved with this lawsuit in the city of Minneapolis. 10 North Minneapolis residents filed a lawsuit against the city alleging glaring discrimination in housing rental housing code enforcement. And joining us a little bit later on, Mike Norton from Dorsey and Whitney, who's one of the lawyers helping represent this case. He'll be joining us to talk a little bit about that. Bakken. Greg Bakken, Ghostbox Radio. Of course, you listen to it weeknights here at 10 o'clock. They got a Halloween jamboree, and I think he's just going to love me using the term jamboree. They got a Halloween extravaganza coming on up here on Halloween night starting at 8 o'clock where they're going to – are they going to be in a haunted house?
Yes, they're going to be doing a live investigation, a three-hour special extra-length show Halloween night.
Is it the Taco John's at the old Skyway downtown where that used to be? Because, I mean, there's ghosts in there for sure. No, they're in Stillwater, right?
You'll have to check in with him. I don't want to say things that I am not paid to say. No.
I would love for him to invite me, but I would, you know, dust doesn't fly like this normally. I would be the jerk that he would be punching by the end of the show. And that's I know that. And I already know I deserve it. I already do. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Were you lucky to get in here with the blizzard, apparently? Remember about a week and a half ago, people were like, it's another blizzard coming to Minneapolis. How was your commute in here today there, Patrick?
It was spectacularly awfully normal.
It was pretty traditional. Nothing too heavy duty for me out there. Now, I will say this. They did get 1 or 2 inches, 3 inches, I think, was the most up in the northwestern part of the state with the first batch. It sucks to be the southern part of the state and into Iowa. They're going to get hit on Saturday. And then it does sound like we might on Halloween. Was it on Halloween or on Monday? One of the two, we're going to get a little bit of flurries in, but nothing. The ground is too warm still. I did call it, though. Didn't I call it? Every leaf is falling out of every tree right now at the same time.
Yep.
You kind of saw that coming. I went from, I couldn't rake my yard. I mean, I would say the 25th, October 25th, there wasn't enough leaves in my yard to rake them. Now my yard is completely covered. So I'm going to be probably doing a little bit of that this weekend, wearing a jacket. It's going to be cool. I posted Sven Sundgaard's Bring Me the News weather forecast out there. Just anticipate it being cool pretty much till the end of next week. And then we kind of get back into normal temperatures out there. 952-946-6205. So there's a lot of things that are going on. I wanted to take a day this week where I'm going to get away from Dean Phillips and his run and Mike Speaker Johnson and all that. And then, you know, obviously, I'm hoping we'll get some, breaking news. It would be nice if we caught the guy in Maine. I know that they apparently found a suicide note there. And once again, it sounds like he might have gone out in a boat on the coastline, and they're searching every bay and harbor that they can find.
Oh, I don't want to, speculate, but when they said they were focusing on the boat launch, that was kind of my thought. The dude just, crudely just took himself out in the middle of the water. That's just kind of
maybe sank the boat there.
Yeah.
You would think they would find something with that. I mean, usually, they'd find, some debris in the water, but we'll have to see, or on the shoreline and something like that. But I'm going to talk about two other stories, main stories, one this hour, one next hour, that I can talk authoritatively about in regards to personal experience with them. Now, first of all, I'm going to spend the first half hour here talking about two stories that have been in the news here. Liberty Mutual, one of the largest insurance companies in the U.S., owes about $7.7 million to tens of thousands of policyholders as a result of an investigation by the Minnesota Department of Commerce. Not exactly. When you think about $7.7 million, yeah, but if it's tens of thousands of policyholders, that's, you're not going to get a lot of money out of there. Maybe, I think, maybe, I guess it's time to go to Matt's Math Corner early today. Ugh, God. Numbers. All right, 7700000. That's 7.7 million divided by tens of thousands. Tens of thousands, so I'll go with 20,000. One, two, three. And he goes, well, 300, you know, 300 bucks a person, so I guess that's not bad. Anyway, it's that's so, you know, you're going to get a little bit of money out of it. If it's only 20,000, if it goes more than 20,000, it'll be less. If it's less than 20,000, it'll be more money. The department's findings revealed several violations of state insurance regulation laws. A total of 86,506 auto and homeowners policy owners in Minnesota received refunds. Oh, okay, so 86,000. All right, that's going to cut into the old cut, you know, 1, 2, 3. 7700000 divided by, let's just sue 70,000 just to try to soften the blow. It's 110 bucks each. It's not a lot of money, but some money. Anyway, but, you know, they'll have to pay that out. A consent order announced on Wednesday, Liberty Mutual and other subsidiaries of the insurance company are accused of the following. Failed to offer a minimum anti-theft protection device account discount for auto insurance. Nice. Used an applicant's status as a residential tenant in offering and establishing multi-policy discounts, which was related to bundling auto and homeowners insurance. Applied for an automated rate increase in violation of state law related to auto insurance. The company has already refunded or credited $2.27 million or 53,604 current and former policy holders, averaging around $42.41 per account. Additionally, Liberty Mutual has started a refund and credit 7,700 current and former policyholders, an estimated $2.7 million, averaging about $350 per person. On top of that, the consent order includes a civil penalty of $150,000. Oh, yeah, I'm sure that's going to leave a mark, which isn't owned or owed by Liberty Mutual as long as it fully complies with the terms of the consent order. That's not exactly a, I don't think that's necessarily a deterrent, but okay. When consumers pay premiums for insurance policies, they're protected by state law to ensure what they get for, said Commissioner Grace Arnold in a statement. That was one story. That was a story that was coming about yesterday. And then there's a story today. This is out of the Star Tribune. I believe that first one was Bring Me the News. This is out of the Star Tribune. Mark Christensen figured his hospital bill was a mistake. The document from Allina Health arrived in February stating the 61-year-old Woodbury resident owed the hospital a staggering sum of $155,000. $493. It made no sense. Christensen said he had coverage through his employer from a reputable health insurer, and the need for the care was undeniable. Christensen was hospitalized for about a month of treatment of a rare and deadly blood cancer. But his insurer, Empire Blue Cross Blue Shield, refused to pay because Allina hadn't obtained authorization for Christensen's transfer to a new hospital, which happened about halfway through his inpatient stay. Okay, this doesn't sound like it's his problem. It sounds like Allina made the mistake. The company said a policy stipulating that when interfacility transfers aren't approved, all claims for care at the second hospital can be deemed not medically necessary, a.k.a. the jackass clause. That's right. We're going to be jackasses because we're only in it for the profit. Even though all of our advertisement says we care about you, we really don't care about you at all. I got a 14th jet ski to buy. Come on, Matt. The decision left Christensen responsible for the bill. It was a matter of life or death. It was very clear to me I needed to be in the hospital. It was clear to me that I needed to be transferred, Christensen said. For them to say that wasn't medically necessary was ridiculous. Christensen's ensuing saga highlights the financial peril patients can face when trapped between hospitals and insurance companies, billing experts say. Through early October, Empire Blue Cross Blue Shield stuck with its decision. Christensen, meanwhile, appealed to an external review agency. Earlier this month, the agency sent a letter upholding the insurance denial, stating the decision was in the best interest of the patient. And then in mid-October, the health insurers called Christensen to say the claim would be paid. This call occurred about 3 days after the Star Tribune began questioning both Allina and Empire Blue Cross Blue Shield about the dispute. Hey, Hey, guess what? We'll grease those wheels real easy. If I can say, congratulations, Star Tribune. There are still times when the media being on the phone does scare people into doing the right thing. The insurer, a division of India, well, allegedly, I don't know what happened there. Maybe out of the goodness of their own hearts, right at the same exact time the media started questioning about the pill, maybe, just maybe, the goodness of their hearts. I can't say for sure. It's either or. The insurer, a division of Indiana-based Anthem Incorporated, told the Star Tribune in a statement that it appreciates the collaboration and partnership with Allina Health to review and address the matter. We're pleased to have a resolution for Mr. Christensen. Hey, great. Allina Health said it strongly believes Mark or any patient should not be caught in the middle of a medical billing appeal process between providers and payers. Well, since you screwed up, I guess, sure. As of Thursday, some details about the resolution still were not made available. There's anecdotal evidence of healthcare providers, when faced with denial from health insurance companies, are increasingly asking patients to either pay the bill or fight the coverage themselves, said Bill Foley of Cancer Legal Care, an Oakdale-based nonprofit group that helped Christensen with his appeals. Complicating matters, a growing number of health insurers are creating coverage payment policies that, when strictly applied, don't leave room for common sense or nuance, Foley said. In Christensen's case, the insurer invoked a policy on interfacility transfers to justify payment denial for subsequent hospital care without addressing whether he required the additional 17 days of inpatient treatment. Both Empire and the external review organizations looked at that policy and said, well, if it's not medically necessary to transfer you, then the hospital stay is not covered. Foley said nobody addressed the common sense fact that there was temporarily staff shortage at the first hospital that required the transfer. So basically, he was transferred because there wasn't enough staff to take care of him. They want to leave that out of the decision. Anywho, you can get the point. It's a mess. But I don't think people understand exactly how screwed up the insurance industry really is. Now, I want to say that my personal home and auto insurance, I'll stand by them all day long because, they did a very good job. Amica. That's something that it came from me with when I was a kid. That was in Rhode Island. My dad said go with them that were there, and they stood by me. I'm very loyal to them. But this whole process that I've gone through in the last near 11 months has been one of the most, oh my God, this entire system is a mess. And it's a mess because of one reason. At the end of the day, everyone doesn't really care about covering you. They all say they do. They all, whether it's auto insurance or home insurance or health insurance and all these things, they all say they do. They don't. And it is shocking how much of the insurance industry is not only incompetently run, but is actively trying to work against you, someone who might have been a loyal client for, say, 40 or 50 years. It really is somewhat disturbing on some of these levels. So just a little bit of a backtrack here on me, and I'm going to leave a lot of the businesses' names out of it because specifically I don't want to. I mean, Amica is great. I've been happy with them, but that's kind of the one thing I'll say, because at the end of the day, they're the ones that stood up and helped me out. Okay, let's just put it this way. At the end of the day, Amica helped me. That's the exception to the rule sort of thing. So I was hit by a drunk driver. Now, obviously, the first thing you say to yourself is, well, the other guy's going to be on the dime for it. The other guy had insurance. Now, this individual was drunk as a skunk. I mean, it was undeniable. There's no question. I was waiting at a traffic light and I got hit clearly. There's no culpability. There's no responsibility that I was for. I was clearly the victim, as was the car that was in front of me, which got tapped lightly and had some minor damage, but because I was literally stood on the brakes. And trust me, Toyota Sienna brakes are fantastic. I literally, because I got hit, my foot went straight down on the brake and I didn't go too far, even though that guy hit me hard. Yeah, Toyotas are good cars, man. Toyotas are really good cars. I can't say that enough. Anyway, clearly the first thing you say to yourself is, well, the other guy's insurance is going to pay for this, you know, and let him deal with his insurance company. His insurance company for, I think, 2 months denied he was actually their customer. And I don't necessarily feel sorry for the guy, but here was this guy saying, no, I've got insurance. I've been paying for it through them. Here's this. Here's the forms. Here's the receipts. Finally, the insurance that he had paid for finally said, yeah, I guess he's covered by us. And because they really didn't, but he was only covered for a minimal policy. They realized there's no way on the planet they were going to be able to, argue against that in a court of law. They quickly wrote that check, which was pretty minimal and barely covered half the insurance things that we had to get covered and rental cars and stuff like that. What came next was bizarre to see, because even still yet today, all this should be covered. But yet, because the way some insurance works, it's hard. I have a hard time understanding how any of these businesses can run themselves so shoddily and yet be able to still stay alive. I'll come back to that in a second. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
I love my Toyota vehicles, so when I have to get service done, there's only one place I go. Rudy Luther Toyota. They know Toyotas inside and out. It starts with them checking your alignment and tire treads with their Hunter Quick Check Drive Inspection Service. Oil changes, tires, batteries, wipers, no matter what you need done, they can help you with reliable Toyota parts and the best service team in Minnesota. Check out their website, RudyLutherToyota.com, for service and parts specials just for Toyota vehicles. Get your Toyota serviced at Rudy Luther Toyota, 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
Temperatures are cooling off and fall migration is underway. Do you know what that means? Eagle viewing season is almost here, and the National Eagle Center is your headquarters for information and experiences. This winter, experience bald and golden eagles in the wild with an unforgettable expert-led field trip. Plan your private eagle habitat tour and learn where the best eagle viewing is with weekly eagle counts. Plus, you can visit the eagles at the center all season long. Plan your visit or experience today online at nationaleaglecenter.org.
My brother-in-law died suddenly, and now my sister and her kids have to sell their home. That's why I told my husband we could not put off getting life insurance any longer. An agent offered us a 10-year, $500,000 policy for nearly $50 a month. Then we called SelectQuote. SelectQuote found us identical coverage for only $19 a month, a savings of $369 a year.
Whether you need a $500,000 policy or a $5 million policy, SelectQuote could save you more than 50% on term life insurance.
For your free quote, call SelectQuote at 1-800-457-6060. That's 1-800-457-6060. Or go to SelectQuote.com. 1-800-457-6060. That's 1-800-457-6060.
SelectQuote. We shop, you save. Full details on example policies at selectquote.com/commercials.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show. Mike Norton from the lawsuit against the city of Minneapolis in regards to the lack of consistency in enforcing rental housing codes in North Minneapolis. He's going to join us coming up here in about 15 minutes. So, from here, I'm going to talk about things from two different perspectives. Now, first of all, from the health insurance side, because obviously I went through a lot of health insurance issues. One of the things that is very clear, now, there's a goofy element to this, which is that your auto insurance generally covers up to a certain point of your emergency care. So if you are in an auto accident, auto insurance covers up to a certain point. Then it goes over to your health insurance. And for the record, I've got a very good health insurance plan through my wife's work that is taking care of us so far. So it's good. What there apparently is not one database, not one thing that says, okay, so say there is $20,000 worth of medical expenses paid for through the auto insurance first, that once that money is burnt up, that it automatically goes to your health insurance because that's what it should do. You know, it should. That's why I have health insurance, is that if I have a problem, it's covered. And like I said, I haven't had too much problem, but I'm being honest with you. I am still getting bills today that say, oh, this that no one's saying they're responsible, so they're sending it to us and saying you got to pay this. I'm like, no. Have you guys submitted this to our health insurance? Yeah, but they haven't gotten back to us. Submit it again, and if they have a problem, I'll get my lawyer involved, and we'll take care of it from there. Oh, okay, sir, no problem. You've got to be careful, because if you do have health insurance or auto insurance, a lot of times one of the things which is really kind of, well, frankly, evil, if you ask me, is it to a point seems to be their path of least resistance is to come to you and just send you the bill for your stay and MRIs and CAT scans and emergency room doctors and surgeries. They're pricey. But they don't care. And their mentality is, well, you pay us and then you can figure out how you'll get reimbursed from your health insurance. Don't listen to them. No. Don't listen to them. They want to try to get off the hook of having to chase down the person who's actually responsible for the bill. And it is remarkable to me that it takes sometimes, and I mean, to the point, I mean, you might have someone like the emergency room physicians or something like this that's contacting your health insurance saying, hey, here's the bill. And the health insurance either just doesn't respond or they basically deny it, even though they don't really have a right. So to a point, there's the people who are trying to collect the money, like, okay, who are supposed to go through here? I get that. But this shouldn't be this complicated. You shouldn't have this. I mean, people are going through tough times. This guy here in the story is going through cancer. You know, I went through a drunk driver breaking my back. I mean, you're going through tough times. The last thing you need is, you know, healthcare companies, insurance companies, all these people basically screaming at you on this. And I think you got to be very careful. I will highly recommend getting a lawyer if it's a serious accident or serious case, because if they know their stuff about insurance, thank you, Lindsay. If they know your stuff about insurance, then, you know, basically they can help you avoid the pitfalls there. The other side of this is the auto insurance, because if you are seriously injured, you're probably going to get a payout in some capacity from the person who hit you's car and then your own health insurance or your own auto insurance. I mean, that's part of the deal when it happens like this. There are good insurance companies that will, okay, yes, here's the case. No problem. Here's a check. Sorry for this happening to you. The vast majority don't work that way. And frankly, there are a lot of insurance companies that actually have entire law offices on retainer whose whole goal is to prevent from having to pay out what you are owed. That's their whole goal. And the reason why is that's money. And I heard from some person about a case where they basically, I mean, they were owed everything. And I think they had somewhere in the area like $55,000, $60,000 worth of medical debt. And it was owed by the auto insurer, and the auto insurer came to them and basically said, we'll give you $500. You just sign this thing and we're done. And they're taking advantage of hoping that the people who they're talking to are desperate enough for that money that they'll quickly take it without taking the amount of money that they're owed just to be done with it and get the money. which is a problem because I can tell you right now, from my personal experience, the first thing I'm thinking about is, okay, I got a broken back and I got rods and screws in my back. I need to have at least my medical deductibles covered until I hit Medicaid, Medicare. And if they're writing you a check to where it's a minimal amount of money, well, guess what? You're not going to be able to cover your medical expenses, not only the ones you have right now, but any ones you incur. I mean, this is how you get people going bankrupt because of medical debt. So no matter how often they wave a check in front of you, you know, you make sure you understand what the rules are. And if I can, once again, finding yourself a lawyer who knows insurance backwards and forwards is a godsend. But you need to understand that even though you've been paying these companies, a lot of these companies, for many years to cover you, you have to understand when it comes time to cover you, they will find reasons. I've talked about this before when the power company will tell you when the power goes out in your house for an extended period of time and say you lose $1,000 worth of food in your freezer, they'll say, well, file a home insurance claim. Don't do that because you really only have like one or two filings against your home, a homeowner's insurance in your entire existence of being around. So you want to save that for like a tree limb coming through your roof or a mudslide taking out your driveway or something like that. You do not want to take that and, you know, use it for something so small and petty as $1,000 worth of fine meat that you just lost. So, you know, you just got to be careful. So, I mean, I think from these two stories here, the Liberty Mutual story having to pay out, and then this other story about this poor guy Christensen, and I'm glad that they're getting some finality there. But the reality is you have to be an advocate. The insurance laws are complicated. So if you are going to do this, read up on them. Understand what you're going to get. And my suggestion would be is find yourself someone who knows insurance law backwards and forwards, because that was, for me, in my specific case, that was a godsend. And yeah, Lindsay was fantastic. I really do appreciate her. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. When we come on back, we're going to talk about this lawsuit against the city of Minneapolis from residents of North Minneapolis in regards to a unfair application of the rental housing codes in the north part of the city. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Turn to Auto Technical with your vehicle donation. We have families waiting for a car. You know, over 85% of unemployed are successful in finding and keeping a job if they have dependable transportation. A car plus a job equals a life changed. 612-919-5526. We have families waiting for a car. 919-5526 or autotech.org.
Located just north of 50th and France, the Great Wall Restaurant has provided a delicious taste of authentic Chinese cuisine since 1981. Specializing in Sichuan and Peking dishes, they offer one of the most extensive menus in the Twin Cities. Favorites include hot and sour soup, pan-fried dumplings, and mushu pork with homemade Chinese pancakes. Stop by their Edina location or call for takeout at 952-927-4439. See the full menu at greatwallrestaurant.us.
Hey, it's Patrick for Zero Res. Is your home ready for the holidays? Be honest, how does your carpet look and smell right now? Okay, maybe you have a carpet disaster on your hands, but that's why you should call my cleaning heroes at Zero Res. Some people hire a deal of the day carpet cleaner to save a little money, but trust shouldn't come that easily. Don't DIY it. Call Zero Res because you know it's safe and effective. That's why this month you can get 3-room Zero Resified starting at just $149 and take $75 off when you get your air duct Zero Res clean. Call Zero Res right now, 952-ZERO-RES, or go online to ZeroResMinnesota.com and say you want the AM 950 special. Spell it forward or backward, it's the same. Zero Res. Refresh, restore, and protect your investment. Call Zero Res to clean your business the right way so your floors and surfaces stay cleaner longer without the harmful chemicals the other guys use.
Hello, this is Ellie Krug with Ellie 2.0 Radio. Now, my show will be on Saturdays from 10 to 11 and replayed on Sundays from 1 to 2. You will get to the best of Ellie 2.0 with talking about idealism, with guests who come in and who are idealistic, who are trying to change the world, and you will get me, Super Idealist. Tune in. We can't wait to hear from you, and you'll hear from me Saturdays from 10 to 11.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Brett Johnson. Look for cloudy skies today with a high near 39. Tonight, cloudy with a low around 27. And Saturday, light snow with a high near 35.
Satisfy your sweet tooth at Latunji's Palette. They have gourmet desserts, including the best peach cobbler in the world, which will satisfy any craving. Latunji's offers vegan and gluten-free options, plus sandwiches and coffee drinks. Visit Latunji's Palette for more info or stop by their Minneapolis location at 1400 Park Avenue South.
Progressive Voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205 is the phone number. Joining us right now is Mike Norton. He's with Dorsey and Whitney, a lawyer with them. He is helping to represent the members, residents of the city of Minneapolis who have, well, for lack of a better way, been kind of discriminated against because of a lack of enforcement of the housing code as a fair the rental code in a fair manner in North Minneapolis. He's kind enough today to join us to talk about the lawsuit against the city. Mike, thank you very much. I appreciate the time.
Thanks for having me, Matt.
All right. Now, first of all, let's start the beginning of this here. So clearly, I'm getting the impression the conditions in North Minneapolis in regards to the codes for rental units the conditions are not that good. It doesn't sound like overall there's a lot of quality that's available. Is that a fair statement?
That is totally right. I mean, if you read through our complaint and just get an idea of what our plaintiffs have had to deal with over the last, you know, some have been in North Minneapolis as little as 5 years, some up to 40 years. I mean, it just runs the gamut of unlivable homes. I mean, we've got cracked foundations and non-watertight windows and leaking tubs and showers, and which, you know, all of that leads to water damage, which begets mold, and we've had sagging roofs and ventilation failures, electrical issues, and these are families. And so at the end of the day, I mean, this is really coming down to a human rights issue.
The fact that that 10 family members got together here, was it a situation where they're all in the same building, or they're people that knew each other? How did this group of residents come together?
So there's been great organizing around this effort over the years, most certainly. And Dorsey and Whitney has had a longstanding relationship in the community on housing issues. We've had a longstanding relationship with the housing court. I myself am often involved with our monthly housing clinic, helping to protect folks from getting evicted. But at the end of the day, I mean, this is really just grassroots North Minneapolis residents, both homeowners and tenants, trying to organize around this issue, and they've just been integral. And, you know, Dorsey and Whitney, we have just played a really specific role here on something that they have really been doing all on their own for years, and we're just trying to elevate this issue to help get change.
You guys, some of the statistics that were brought to the attention in this lawsuit are pretty stark here. 9 times more rental housing complaints, but experiences significantly less enforcement than its predominantly white counterparts. Residents, many of them families with young children, are forced to endure conditions ranging from water damage to faulty electrical wiring to safety hazards that have trapped kids due to faulty injuries, as well as also they're basically wanting the city to change. Is this a case? I'm going to. And this is going to be easy for me. I'm going to play stupid for a second, okay? But just to ask the question,
Mike, is it just the city doesn't have enough inspectors, or are the inspectors, you know, they're far more likely to be, you know, and the enforcement is far more likely to happen in the more more white areas of the town?
So this case, it's not about money at all. We have not asked for money at all. The plaintiffs receive nothing directly. Our ask is so simple, and that is for the city to put the inspectors where the problems, you know, lie. And you're totally right. So North Minneapolis is 16% of the population, but it's half of the complaints. And there are about 30 district-specific inspectors around the city. And North Minneapolis gets less than a quarter of them, but makes up half of the complaints. Now, if you go to South Minneapolis, wards 11, 12, and 13, down there at the bottom, they are only 5% of the complaints, but they have nearly 30% of the inspectors. So we're really just asking, we need to shift the city's resources to match demand. Instead of organizing this based on population around the city, we need to put half of the inspectors in North Minneapolis. They're just, and even at the individual staff level, you know, it's hard for an inspector to comprehend if we have the same human inspector to be able to be as efficient in North Minneapolis as they are in South Minneapolis, just given the demand that they're being placed upon.
The conditions described here, you know, this is the other thing that I think is alarming in this story, is it's hard to kind of comprehend. There are people that are living in this city that are living in housing units, which, for lack of a better way to say it, sound like they should be condemned. When you're talking about wiring issues and leaking water, I mean, we're going into winter, and it doesn't sound like many of these houses, there seems to be some, probably whether these houses are going to stay fit for people to be able to reside in them during the winter months.
So totally right that some of these are just unlivable houses, but we do think at the end of the day that, you know, landlords might up front say, oh, well, you know, there's just, it's untenable. But we think at the end of the day, this is an enforcement issue, and we can make these houses livable. But you're totally right that this is a human rights issue. These houses should be livable. And it's not too much to ask of the city to make sure that the housing stock from every ward in the city is simply livable.
Absolutely, because, you know, okay, this is not exactly a high bar to achieve. I mean, this is kind of one of those things that's kind of hard to kind of comprehend that this has gotten this bad.
Yeah, no, totally. And you know, if you look at just how the racial component is around the city, we think we have a strong argument both under the Minnesota Constitution and the Minnesota Human Rights Act to help ameliorate these issues. And really, you know, solve the components that are really making these houses unlivable. And just I'll run through some of the other issues in our complaint, since I know a lot of your listeners certainly haven't probably read it, maybe have just seen some coverage around the city. But one of our plaintiffs had a refrigerator run off a power cord for months. Another, you know, had doors lacking doorknobs. And one of our plaintiffs is a mailman here in the city. And
can I stop you a quick second? Doors without doorknobs.
I would have thought it was required.
Yeah. What in the hell? Okay, so you're basically an open air residence, you know, I guess. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. So we have one plaintiff who, you know, is a mail carrier and is able to really see the full broad spectrum just on the street. And he described doors lacking doorknobs and houses without windows. And then plaintiff's tenants have had issues of windows shattered that have never been resolved. And actually, one of our plaintiffs finally had to move out because that window was never fixed before they finally gave up and decided they had to leave.
Okay, can I ask this element of this? Because I'm not sure if this has anything to do necessarily with the suit. Obviously, you're talking about the discrepancies within the enforcement policies in the city. But who are these landlords that when someone has an open window on their place, they're like, okay, I don't really want to have to deal with this? I mean, it would seem to me that should be something that you have 24 hours or else the city's going to put you in cuffs and we'll take over the building. I mean, it doesn't seem to me that there's other human beings that are this horrible that they would treat other human beings this way.
There have certainly been many high-profile cases in the last 3 years of specific landlords. Khan is one that comes to mind that rose all the way to the Supreme Court. And then he also had a petition for the U.S. Supreme Court. So how that one went. It was denied. But then you've also had the Attorney General's office address this issue, going after specific landlords. And what our suit is really about is we've observed this whack-a-mole of, you know, individual landlords that they're going after. And we need to take a step back and really do it much earlier. Instead of in the situation of Khan, where he was able to survive a decade with violations, we really need to start it much sooner and much more aggressive so that landlords are kind of on notice that the tone has shifted and that enforcement will be expected. Whereas right now, it seems that they know in at least wards 4 and 5, they can get away with a lot and their rental license will not be affected.
Well, and there's where this all piggybacks. I mean, as you just said, if there is no enforcement, the landlord has no incentive to basically treat other human beings as human beings.
Totally right. Yeah. I mean, this really is just making these homes livable. And I think the city, we're not asking a lot of them, just want them to really focus the resources where the problems lie, so that way we can make these homes livable and make sure that the capital stock from every ward in the city is livable for every family.
I know, obviously, you can't talk too much about the case so far. What's been, have you had any response from the city of Minneapolis on this?
The only thing we've had so far is that they're considering the complaint. As you can expect, litigation does take time. They'll have a few weeks to provide their answer, and then we will go through the discovery process and start creating a timeline. You know, we are hopeful that because our ask is quite simple, just to, you know, assign half of the inspectors where the problems lie, in wards 4 and 5, that maybe this can come to a quick resolution. But of course, it will just take time. Litigation, you know, yeah, it takes time.
Well, and it also, if I can, I mean, because obviously that's a very minimal. I mean, your ask is a very low bar for this city to have to accomplish. I would make an argument, maybe the city, you know, hey, we always have enough of a tax increase when it comes to a new sports stadium. But, you know, maybe we increase taxes, I don't know, a cent or two, get enough revenue, hire more than enough inspectors, and then basically make sure that the people of Minneapolis aren't being treated like they're substandard humans. I mean, I think your policy is, and obviously, like I said, a very low bar there, but I'm almost kind of wondering, okay, if there's a problem with the amount of inspectors, well, then I think if you went out there and explained to people, we need to make sure we have enough inspectors so people aren't living in third world conditions in the city of Minneapolis, well, I think most people would get on board with that as well.
It's a sensible ask. You know, it would always be great if government had unlimited resources. And of course, our lawsuit doesn't really address the resource side of it. But we do think with the fixed amount the city has now that just shifting even those limited 30 inspectors to make sure that North Minneapolis has the resources they need, you know, they could address these issues. But, you know, of course, whatever the voters of Minneapolis are in support of to address this issue, I do think you're correct that this is a real human rights issue.
And frankly, a few cents for every resident, that's a pretty easy fix, too. I would think. I don't think it'd be that's not exactly a Herculean jump as well. Any timeline you guys have on this, or is this still, once again, I understand the court's situation. You have to sometimes wait for people to respond in court times and stuff like this. But has there been any timeline established yet?
No, we were actually just assigned our judge yesterday. So, you know, it'll be a little bit of time to get the process started. But, you know, we are hopeful that we could come to a quick resolution here. But, yeah, as you can imagine, the just the timeline for discovery could take months. And we are hoping to go through and kind of see all of the city's perspective here on how they further assign inspectors. But, you know, as we've seen the stats, they're just really quite shocking that a city, part of the city that is 16% of the population, just has so few inspectors, and wards that only are 5% of the population, or 5% of the complaints, are nearly 30% of the inspectors.
Well, it clearly is a tilted system. Another point here I wanted to ask you really quick. I mean, this is, you have 10 North Minneapolis residents that are in on this lawsuit. The reality, though, is that we're talking a lot more people, though, correct? Is that a fair assessment?
Completely right.
Yeah.
As you can imagine, finding plaintiffs that fit this narrow position of having filed complaints against the city and be able to have the right standing you need in a lawsuit like this, living in what is some of the worst housing stock in the city, where they might be on month-to-month leases. They might worry about repercussions from a landlord if they're suing the city in this situation. It you know, we certainly could not cover the full, scope of plaintiffs that might fit for the case. And we were able to find, thankfully, some very brave plaintiffs to come forward. We are very thankful for the Jordan Area Community Council, which is homeowners who have been organizing for years in their neighborhood, and also to IX, United Renters for Justice, who has been organizing on this issue with tenants for years. They have both been integral in helping find people who have been very brave, frankly, in this issue, to come forward and to allow us to tell their story.
Obviously, I mean, it's multifold. You obviously want the public to know what's going on with this case, as well as also if there's people that might actually apply as well to this case. Is there a place to go for people to get more information about this this lawsuit, or is it just one of those things we need to keep in track of this in the news?
So we haven't. This is not a class action, so I think probably most of your listeners kind of understand this type of lawsuit in that frame. This is a limited amount of plaintiffs.
Okay.
But I'll caveat that certainly, if somebody felt that they, fit the right profile of having filed complaints to the city, and feel like that they fit everything within the theme of our lawsuit, then there are court opportunities to be able to join. But yeah, I think that the initial read would be someone would want to be able to find our complaint. The Star Tribune did a long story on it earlier this week. Would probably be one of the first places to start, just to understand what our suit really is about.
All right, and I'll make sure I get that that story reposted for you guys, so that people can stay informed on this. All my best on this, because this is one of those basic human things, and it's amazing to me sometimes how people sometimes treat other human beings. It is somewhat discouraging, but it's also incredibly discouraging that the people that are there to make sure that people aren't getting taken advantage of aren't doing their job either. That only compounds the problem. So all my best to you guys on this. I hope that you get a solid resolution and you just get some basic enforcement installed in the areas you're representing.
Thank you. Yeah, no, we're hopeful that we can get movement with the city and get some changes. These residents and tenants really are at the end of their rope, which is why we had to file this lawsuit. But we hope this brought attention, and hopefully we'll be able to get policy change with the city.
Mike Norton is with Dorsey and Whitney. He is helping part to represent the 10 North Minneapolis residents who filed the lawsuit against the city alleging glaring discrimination in rental housing code enforcement. We'll also keep up to date as well. As we see a news story on this, I'll make sure you talk about this. Mike, thank you very much. I really appreciate the time today.
Thanks so much for having me.
My pleasure. Mike Norton, once again, Dorsey and Whitney, representing the 10 North Minneapolis residents there in their case against the city. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Tune in this Saturday morning from 7 to 8 a.m. right here on AM 950 for the Gardening with Joy and Holly radio show from 7 to 8 a.m. It's our final show of Season 7. We'll be talking about some fun facts about life that you may not have known about. And who are Joey and Holly Baird outside of the gardening world? Our guest is author Heather Holm will be with us, and we'll have some thank yous to dish out. That's all this Saturday morning from 7 to 8 a.m. right here on AM 950. Tell a friend and let's grow together.
The Park Tavern is your go-to destination for fun. Your friends and your family will have a great time with the fantastic food like the pizzas, appetizers, burgers, entrees, and sandwiches, the best bowling in Minnesota, the wildly popular outdoor patio, great drink specials, all the big games on their numerous screens, and it's the perfect place for your next private event, even large gatherings for over 200. The Park Tavern is your go-to destination for everyone age 1 to 100. Come see for yourself. Have fun at the Park Tavern, Louisiana Avenue, north of Highway 7 in St. Louis Park.
Bet you didn't know that 2,300 people in Minnesota are currently waiting for a life-saving transplant. Check your driver's license to see if you're a registered donor. It's an easy way to help others. One donor can save and heal more than 75 lives. Ready to register and don't know how? Check the box on your ID at the DMV or skip the lines and register online today at life-source.org. That's life-source.org. Sponsored by LifeSource, this station, and the Minnesota Broadcasters Association.
Next time on Philosophy Talk, referring to the world.
In December 2019, our dear friend Ken Taylor announced that he had a complete draft of a book he'd been writing for years.
Tragically and unexpectedly, Ken passed away later that day.
But thanks to a group of dedicated colleagues, his book has just been published.
So join us as we refer to the world of Ken's ideas.
Referring to the world, next time on Philosophy Talk.
Philosophy Talk, every Sunday at 8 a.m. on AM 950.
AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. Mike Norton, thank you very much. I appreciate the information because I got to tell you, I am one of these guys that is very particular about how I have my religious faith. I have my faith in things and how things are going. But the reality is that it sometimes what makes me, gets under my blood is the basics, the necessities, feeding the hungry, taking care of the sick, sheltering the homeless, welcoming strangers from strange lands. These are basic tenets that if you are someone who's Christian, and once again, you do or don't do whatever it is you do or don't want to do, I'm a Christian, these are the things you're supposed to be doing. You're not supposed to be sitting there talking about guns. Jesus loves guns. That's no. It's not even close. You are really, really wrong. So it is kind of hard to hear that there are human beings treating other human beings this badly. But I will say this, and I've talked about this before. My wife and I, a few years back, inherited a percentage of a rental property, and we got out of it. And the reason why is because even in these so-called good ones, I'm just not the kind of person who feels very comfortable about, well, they haven't paid the rent, we should evict them. I'm like, well, that's a human being you're throwing out in the street there. And I get it, you're building all this stuff, but I'm too much of a fool, and I think we should be looking out for our fellow man, but it's stories like this that where you hear about, and once again, it's not the city is not the one that's causing the doors to not have doorknobs or the windows to be broken. The city's not doing that, but the city has a job or responsibility to go in there and make sure these houses are livable, that human beings can live in these facilities. And it sure as heck doesn't sound like human beings can really live in some of these facilities at time. And that is a major failure of the city and the enforcement, especially when, as Mike pointed out, if there's a problem in one of the more predominantly white communities, the inspectors are down there right away. Well, if you need to hire inspectors, seriously, go to the city, people of the city, say, hey, we need to raise taxes, 10 cents everyone, but we're going to get enough inspectors to make sure people aren't living in third world conditions in the city of Minneapolis.
Connecting with you on air, online, and on the Civic Media app. This is Lake Air 1260 AM, WLAK, Amory's radio station. This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips that you plan in advance, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends for which you make a group chat 3 months before so that nobody or anything is missing? Or your daughter's first birthday party. You planned it with such dedication that instead of the first, it felt like our quinces. The same way you plan each detail for those moments. Start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Protecting your family is the best plan you can make. Get started at ready.com.